Blog Talk Radio.
And yes, and we dripping this morning. Yes, we dripping this morning. Blog Talk Radio, the morning drip with Suleiman Bey. It is what it is. How y'all doing out there? Yeah, just in motion, man. Just getting ready. Make sure the spirit is uplifted. And make sure we're in the right space. Forecast, broadcast, and forecast these thoughts out into the universe so they come back to you plentiful. You're on the morning drip, the Blog Talk Radio with Suleiman Bey. Man, I hope y'all well out there. Thank you for joining again on another day. We're going to get into it today because I don't have much time. Let me just go really get into this thing. We're going to really just point this beast out. Yeah, they said the beast, the mark of the beast was a man. Yeah, they said his number was 666. It was a man. So what are we looking for? Who are we looking for? So we got this system. We got this system that's been implemented. It's called the Social Security number. Man, that number's tied to everything. They know your every thought to move because of that number right there. That number starts a whole string of invasions into your privacy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to get into that and we'll really feel that. Let me finish loading up here. Okay. Get that off. Don't forget to follow us now at go to Instagram at Illegal Empowerment Group and then go to LegalEmpowermentGroup101.com for the website. So on Instagram, Illegal Empowerment Group, you can find your do-it-yourself kits and stuff to that effect that will help you out with credit repair, how to really get stuff off your credit yourself and business formation from a fundability standpoint. Because anybody could just start a business and register with the state, but can you get funding for your business? Can you create a business that's fundable? And that's what we teach, and that's what we do. So follow us there as well. Also, check us out at health.info for 501c3, total 100% tax deductible for your donations. Takes finance to upgrade, uplift the nation. And that's health. So you got to spell it with the word health, like healthcare, and you got to spell it with the dashes because that's the website. That's what it is, h-e-a-l-t-h.info. You can do one times, weekly, monthly, a voila, you know, it could be a voila, a little bit, however you feel, you know. You could be anonymous, or you could be, you could leave your name. You will get a receipt at the time of that you donate. And you could present that to you with your taxes and do your thing right there. Figure out that with your accountant, your CPA. Now I'm going to get your bread. All right. Get also for your feminine hygiene products to go to queenkitty.net. That's queenkitty.net and queenkitty at Instagram. And check out Miss Tay Ray and her feminine hygiene product line there. All right. So, like I like to study. I like to read. My mother used to make me read when I was young. And I used to hate it. I used to buck. She made me read for 30 minutes a day. And I used to buck for 30 minutes before I finally would read. So I could have been done. You know, if I'd have just peeped that game like that first. But, no, I had to buck like so many other things in life. And anyway, they gave me a fondness for reading because the situation I found myself in, it wasn't nothing to do but read, being in hell holes. So reading is the way out to keep the mind free. So I would read anything, Bibles, whatever. When I read stuff, I read it from front to back. I don't judge books by its cover, but I have done that. But that's how I know that you can't do that from reading books. Because you can look at the book and be like, oh. And you can start reading it and you're like, oh, this ain't nothing. And then find out it's fire. And you can pick up a book and start reading it and it'd be slow. And you're like, ah. Oh. And you could push, and if you don't push through, you'll never know. But if you push through, it might be one of the best stories you read. Some people just, that's how they write. There's different flows, different strokes for different folks. So that's what you got to be aware of, you know what I'm saying? So don't judge a book by its cover. You got to go in there and read the book. What's for you is for you. What's not is not. You know what I'm saying? So that's how that goes. So let me, I'm going to get a shout out to all the folks who are out there listening. We're going to slide. Let me see. Malaysia, to all the folks in Malaysia, to all the kin folks, to the family. Yeah, to all the family in Malaysia, to all the family in China who listening. Yes, we see y'all. To all the family in the Czech Republic who listening. Yeah, shouts out to y'all. Denmark, we see you. United Kingdom, yeah. Peru, to all the family members. I'm going to see everybody, everybody who listens somewhere to this show. This is where they're coming from. Peru, man, thank y'all for listening, and I really appreciate y'all. Tell more people. Like, I know I got to get more consistent. I'm going to stay on it more and more and start having people on so I can have an audience for y'all. So I got to, you know, I know a lot of people, too. And of course, in the United States and Canada and Alaska, I just want to thank all y'all your support. I don't care if it's one, two, three people, four people, five people. I don't care how many ever it is just listening. Yeah, just I hope I'm giving something to you that you can use, some tools that you can use. That's what I hope I'm doing. So if I'm doing that to whoever listening, that's the blessing right there. Giving back from what I got freely. Okay, so I'm going to go into this Social Security system. It's voluntary. And this was written by Moses G. Washington. I don't like to take credit for nothing. I'm going to speak from where I got this from, and I'm reading it. So and he has a disclaimer. It says it's for educational purposes only and not to be construed as legal advice. All right. So here we go. This is called the Social Security System is Voluntary. There are a wide variety of myths surrounding the Social Security system in the United States. The following list is some of the most common myths. The Social Security system is a government-sponsored retirement insurance program. Not. All native-born Americans must apply for a Social Security number. All people born in America must present a Social Security number when they get a new job. Everyone must present a Social Security number to open a bank account, apply for a credit card, etc. We will spend the remainder of this essay demonstrating that none of the statements in the above listed are true. Social Security is welfare. Most people believe that the Social Security system is an insurance program created by the federal government to ensure that everyone will have some income when they retire. But in actual fact, Social Security is a welfare system. In the Social Security Act, 74th Congress, Session 1, Chapter 531, August 14, 1935, page 636, Section 702. Now, listen, you got to take notes. You got to take notes, though, so you can go study this for yourself. You can't believe man knoweth not by being told. You got to go study and find out what's the truth. You got to cross-reference, do a comprehensive study. So I just gave you the numbers, so you need to write that down. So I'm going to say that again. In the Social Security Act, 74th Congress, Session 1, Chapter 531, August 14, 1935, page 636, Section 702, Duties of Social Security Board, the term social insurance is used. Social insurance is defined in Black Law dictionaries as follows. A comprehensive welfare plan established by law, generally compulsory in nature and based on a program which spreads the cost of benefits among the entire population rather than on individual recipients. The federal government began to use social insurance programs in 1935 with the passage of the Social Security Act. The basic federal and state approaches to social insurance presently in use are old age, survivors, and disability insurance, that is, Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation. Black Law Dictionary, 5th edition. Social Security, not mandatory. New parents are routinely told by hospital staff that they must fill out an application for a birth certificate and an application for a Social Security number before they leave the hospital with their newborn. Hospitals make every effort to get these applications because the hospital receives up to $4,000 when they deliver a birth certificate and Social Security number to the state for a newborn. Penny Payton, former claims representative for the Social Security Administration, SSA, writes, Social Security is voluntary in that there is no law which requires an individual to obtain a Social Security number. She also states, Anyone who does not have a Social Security number does not earn taxable income. Charles H. Mullen, SSA Associate Commissioner, states, the Social Security Act does not require a person to have a Social Security number to live and work in the United States, nor does it require an SSN simply for the purpose of having one. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that Congress has limited authority to legislate compulsory subjugation to social programs within the several 50 states. Compulsory subjugation program, listen. The catalog of means and actions which might be imposed upon an employer in any business tending to the satisfaction and comfort of its employees seems endless. Provision for free medical attendance, nursing, clothing, food, housing, and education of children, and 100 other matters might, with equal propriety, be proposed as tending to relieve the employee of mental strain and worry. Can it fairly be said that the power of Congress to regulate interstate commerce extends to the prescription of any or all of these things? Is it not apparent that they are really and essentially related solely to the social welfare of the worker and therefore removed from any regulation of commerce as such? We think the answer is plain. These matters obviously lie outside the orbit of congressional power. Railroad Retirement Board versus Alton Railroad Company, 295 U.S. 330, 55, Supreme Court, 758, 1935. According to 48 United States Code, Section 418, entitled Voluntary Agreements for Coverage of State and Local Employees, there is no jurisdiction to involve the state or local employees except by contract slash agreement. The Social Security Act only requires aliens to be assigned numbers at the time of their lawful admission to the United States, all capital, United States. 42 United States Code, Section 405, C2B, 1, in carrying out the commissioner's duties under subparagraph A and subparagraph F, the Commissioner of Social Security shall take affirmative measures to assure that Social Security account numbers will, to the maximum extent practicable, be assigned to all members of appropriate groups or categories of individuals by assigning such numbers or ascertaining that such numbers have already been assigned. 1. To aliens at the time of their lawful admission to the United States, either for permanent residence or under other authority of law, permitting them to engage in employment in the United States, and to other aliens at such time as their status is so changed as to make it lawful for them to engage in such employment. People who were born in the United States are citizens. The statutes clearly do not require these individuals to get a Social Security number. However, we can apply for a number. Get some nice water. We've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, y'all. Yeah, we've been hoodwinked. 42 U.S.C. 405 C2B 1 and 2. To any individual who is an applicant for or recipient of benefits under any program financed in whole or in part from federal funds, including any child on whose behalf such benefits are claimed by another person. An applicant is one who requests something, Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition. Apply is defined as to make a formal request or petition usually in writing to a court, officer, board, or company for the granting of some favor or of some rule or order which is within his or their power or discretion, Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition, emphasis added. So somebody grant you at their power and discretion. From these definitions, it is clear that to apply for something is a voluntary act. No government official can find anything in the statute that makes the application for a Social Security number mandatory. It is apparent that if a Social Security number were mandatory, the law will provide for the assignment of numbers to everyone. Since the statutory scheme fails to impose the requirement on private citizens of the 50 states and or of the United States, the next question to ask is whether perhaps the Social Security regulation themselves might impose requirements. But here the regulations can be no broader than the act itself, and the duty to apply for and obtain a security card or number boils down to following 20 CFO of the Federal Regulations, Section 422.103. Okay, let's get into this. D, applying for a number. B1 says Form SS5. An individual needing a Social Security number may apply for one by filing a signed form SSS-5. If you got to apply for one, it means they're mandatory, because it's mandatory, you just automatically have one. Anyway, application for a Social Security card at any Social Security office and submitting the required evidence. 2, birth registration document. The Social Security Administration may enter into an agreement with officials of a state to establish, as part of the official birth registration process, a procedure to assist SSA in assigning Social Security numbers to newborn children. Where an agreement is in effect, a parent, as part of the official birth registration process, need not complete a form SS-5 and may request the SSA assign a Social Security number to the newborn child. C. How numbers are assigned. 1. Request on form SS-5. If the applicant has completed a form SS-5, the Social Security office that receives the completed form SS-5 will require the applicant to furnish documentary evidence. After review of the documentary evidence, the completed form SS-5 is forwarded to SSA's central office. If the electronic screening or other investigation does not disclose a previously assigned number, SSA's central office assigns a number and issues a Social Security number card. 2. Request on a birth registration document. Where a parent has requested a Social Security number for a newborn child as part of an official birth registration process described in paragraph B2 of this section, the State Vital Statistics Office will electronically transmit the request to SSA's central office. Using this information, SSA will assign a number to the child and send the Social Security number card to the child at the mother's address. So it's voluntary. The mother requested involuntarily all into the scheme that they got. Unbeholden to our mother. She didn't know. They didn't know that there was a scheme, the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world. The supposed requirement to apply for and obtain a Social Security number, therefore, boils down to this. You can get it if you want it and request it. There is no legal compulsion for an American citizen to apply. When anyone applies for SSN, they are entering into a contract with the government. Under the definition for contract, Black's Law Dictionary lists the essential elements. That's what I say, y'all. You got to have a Black's Law Dictionary in your house. One of the editions, two or three of them would be best. Man, you need to have just different dictionaries and law books in your house so you can see how they're operating. Okay? So here go the essentials. Black's Law Dictionary is the essential list. Its essentials are competent parties, subject matter, a legal consideration, mutuality of agreement, and mutuality of obligation, Black's Law Dictionary 7th Edition. It is clear that the Social Security contract has some of the required elements, consideration, agreement, mutual obligation. However, the competent parties element is missing for most people who enter the contract. True, because they don't know. The last section of the statute that is quoted above is the provision that allows parents to apply to an SSN for their children. People are not viewed as being of a valid age to contract until they are 18 years old. When the parents apply for their children, they're acting as their agents, so the parents can meet the competent parties requirement while children cannot. When one person, a parent as agent, does an act on behalf of another person, a child, but without complete authority, the person for whom such act is done may afterwards adopt the act as if it is done in his behalf, thereby giving the act the same legal effect as if it had been originally fully authorized. So you just followed on with it. You feel me? Makes it look like it was good, authorized by you. This subsequent retroactive consent, the effect of which relates back to the time of the original act, and places the principal in the same position as if he had originally authorized the act, is called ratification. Okay, it's called ratification. When a person finds that an act has been done in his name or on his behalf, that person must either ratify it or, in the alternate, disaffirm it. Silence, you hear that? When a person finds that an act has been done in his name or on his behalf, that person must either ratify it or, in the alternate, disaffirm it. Yeah, they keep saying you Negro, Black, and colored. You keep biting on that, then you got to live the consequences of that. Taxation without representation. Go ahead, brothers and sisters. Silence also constitutes approval of the act. A child cannot ratify the actions of their parents. However, as an adult, they can either accept or reject the actions of their parents. Huh? The first time someone submits their SSN when applying for a job or opening a bank account or similar action after they turn 18, they have ratified the action of their parents in applying for the Social Security number. So you're saying that you agree with what they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amends Title II, Old Age Survivors and Disability Assurance of the Act. Okay. Amends Title II of the Act to require states to collect the Social Security numbers of both parents when their child is born for use by state agencies administering child support enforcement programs unless the state finds good cause for not requiring such numbers. Family Support Act of 1988, Public Law 100-485. The Family Support Act of 1988, Public Law 100-485, requires states to require parents to give their SSN in order to get a birth certificate issued for a newborn. Who needs a birth certificate? The law allows the requirement to be waived for good cause, but there is no indication of what may qualify. Many people have been successful in using the cause for religious reasons. This statute was implemented in 42 U.S.C. Section 405 as seen below. In the administration of any law involving the issuance of a birth certificate, each state shall require each parent to furnish to such state or political subdivision thereof, or any agency thereof, have an administrative responsibility for the law involved. The Social Security account number, or numbers, if the parent has more than one such number, issued to the parent unless the state, in accordance with regulations prescribed by the Commissioner of Social Security, finds good cause for not requiring the furnishing of such number. Such number shall not be recorded on the birth certificate. A state shall not use any Social Security account number obtained with respect to the issuance by the state of a birth certificate for any purpose other than for the enforcement of child support orders in effect in the state. 42 U.S.C. Section 405, 62C2. The IRS requires taxpayers to report SSNs for dependents over 1 year of age, but the requirement can be avoided if you're prepared to document the existence of the child by other means if challenged. The law on this can be found at 26 U.S.C. Section 6109. Mm-hmm. And this will tell you, that's going to tell you about the different forms of identification of numbers, identifying numbers. And let's see, we got that. Termination of agreements. Mm-hmm. That will teach you right there. When you go to Title 26 USC 6109, that's going to tell you about the identifying numbers. See, they always throw Social Security numbers out there, but it's really, they call it identifying numbers. And it's three or four of them. You know, Social Security is one of them. Employer identification is number one. You know, ITN, IRS number. So they try to use the language and say Social Security to throw you off, but it's really identifying numbers. So you have to go look up that code and you'll see it for yourself in 26 U.S.C. Section 6109, identifying numbers. Okay, so the penalty for not giving a dependent's number is only $5. Several people have reported that they haven't provided SSNs for their dependents for several years and haven't been challenged by the IRS. Of course, after reading the article on income tax being voluntary, you probably would not be filing any more federal tax returns. Okay, Social Security required work. Most people believe they have to present their employer with an SSN when they start a job. They believe that their employment means their employer must withhold Social Security deductions from their wages because of their status as an employee. Let's look at some definitions from the Social Security Act to see if this is borne out. The term employment is defined. So you got to stop thinking what you've been taught by Mr. Webster's dictionary. Mr. Webster's dictionary ain't running the legal system. This is the legal system operating over here. A construct on paper. Yeah, a fiction that's running by legal means. So you need to understand law, legalities, all right? The term employment is defined. 42 U.S.C., United States Code. When you hear U.S.C., that means United States Code. 42 U.S.C., Section 405A. The term employment means any service of whatever nature performed after 1950, A, by an employee for the person employing him, irrespective of the citizenship or residence of either, 1, within the United States, or 2, on or in connection with an American vessel or American aircraft under a contract of service which is entered into within the United States. To fully understand what is meant by some of the embedded terms, you have to look them up as well. Let's see how they define United States. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, means the states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. 42 United States Code, Section 405.1. That's what it means. Those are the states. This definition will lead you to believe that it includes the 50 states. But wait, there is a definition of state as well. The term state includes the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. That's 42 United States Code, Section 405H. I don't make this up, y'all. This is they stuff. I'm giving you the code so you can go find out for yourself and you can see it and stop being, listen, we've been bamboozled and hoodwinked. It's time to wake up. The people are waking up. That's why it's all kind of chemical warfare in the air trying to take you down. People are waking up, and you old folks need to get out the way and quit thinking, oh, y'all just thinking the wrong. Nah, it's been your open enemy for years. It's been going on for years. Wake up. You've been taught wrong. You've been lied to. It's the murderer and the thief, just like his father from the beginning. Jesus, that's what y'all call him. We call him his name, his attribute, Yahushua. And he told you that. And he called him a devil, a bride of vipers. And he said, if you knew me, then you would know my father. But you don't know me because you of your father, the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And I bear witness to it. So that's what's going on. It says, so it would appear that if your employment is in one of the 50 states, you don't have to have a SSN to work. The reason is that the federal government only has jurisdiction over Washington, D.C. and its territories. And that again, is Washington, D.C. and its territories is the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, so the District of Columbia, right? As we have seen, that is exactly how they define their jurisdiction. Further research may reveal that if you work for the federal, state, or local government, you might need an SSN to work. But let's also look at how Social Security defines employee in the Code of Federal Registry. That's the CFR, okay? You must be an employee for your work to be covered as employment for Social Security purposes, 20 CFR Section 404.1005. Again, it says you must be an employee for your work to be covered as employment for Social Security purposes. That's 20 CFR Section 404.1005. The Social Security Act defines employment. Any service covered by Social Security performed by an employee, 20 CFR Section 404.1003. The Social Security Act defines wages. The term wages means remuneration to you as an employee for employment unless specifically excluded. That's 20 CFR Section 404.1041. Oh, let's go break down. Let's go break it down. Don't worry about it. Notice the implication that the wages can be excluded. Another section of the code defines you and your. You or your means any person whose earnings from employment or self-employment are included or excluded under Social Security. 20 CFR Section 404.1002. It is evident from this series of definition that only those under Social Security are covered by the system and subject to its regulations. We see from the point above that one becomes covered by the system when one applies. Therefore, the system is voluntary. When someone starts a new job, their employer wants them to fill out a W-4, which determines the number of deductions for federal income tax purposes, and an I-9 to prove that you have a right to work in this country. Both of these forms have a place for the SSN. A critical question which we must address is whether any governmental agency can require you to use an SSN, which is voluntary in the first place. This appears to have been addressed by Section 7 of the Privacy Act of 1974, 88 Statute 1896, which reads as follows. Section 7, A1. It shall be unlawful for any federal, state, or local government agency to deny to any individual any right, benefit, or privilege provided by law because of such individual's refusal to disclose his Social Security account number. 2. The provision of paragraph 1 of this subsection shall not apply with respect to A. any disclosure which is required by federal statute, or B. the disclosure of his Social Security number to any federal, state, or local agency, maintaining a system of records in existence and operating before January 1, 1975. If disclosure was required under statute or regulation adopted prior to such a date to verify the identity of an individual. So it had to be going on before, and it had to be using that method to identify people. B, any federal, state, or local government agency which requests an individual to disclose his Social Security account number shall inform that individual whether that disclosure is mandatory or voluntary, by what statutory or other authority such number is solicited, and what uses will be made of it. Do they do that? Okay. So, no government agency can require the SSN, but the same rule applies to private businesses. In a letter dated July 16, 1986, Darkus R. Hardy, Commissioner of Social Security, responded to an individual's query regarding the requirement of having a SSN. Here is part of his reply. Section 205 C2A of the Social Security Act requires the Social Security Administration to establish and maintain records of wages and self-employment income for each individual whose work is covered under the program. See, under the Social Security program. Workers who do not wish to use their Social Security numbers for religious or other reasons should get in touch with the Internal Revenue Service office in their area to explain their position and receive advice on how to proceed. We do not have the authority to require an employer to provide or deny employment or services to anyone who refuses to disclose his or her number. In addition to this, there is a court case which makes it clear that you do not have to provide your employer an SSN when you start a new job. The Internal Revenue Code and the regulations promulgated pursuant to the code do not contain an absolute requirement that that an employer provide an employee Social Security number. EEOC versus Information Systems Consulting. In the United States District Court, Northern District of Texas, Dallas Division. The I-9 form was created as a result of the Immigration Reform Control Act, as implemented in 8 United States Code, Section 1324B-A3. This act does not apply to United States citizens. The statute requires United States citizens as protected individuals, and as such, a United States citizen cannot be required to provide any of the specific documents under 8 United States Code, Section 1324A, in order to be allowed to work in the U.S. Do not give it, okay? Okay. So I wanted to give some other stuff too. That was just that was on old boy George Washington, Moses Washington spiel on the Social Security system is voluntary. Now we're going to go into a couple more before we close off here because I got a vamoose here. Section. Okay, look. Y'all want to know about the mark of the beast. Everybody want to know that, huh? Well, you want to find the Social Security Act? You want to find out what it's called? It's under 42 United States Code, Section 666. And the name of the beast is 666. Okay? So we got a lot of stuff. I don't want to get into that. Okay. But I do want to read to you from that what the act is. Okay? It's the Public Health and Welfare Act, requirement of statutory prescribed procedures to improve effectiveness of child support enforcement. That's what it's supposed to be for. Okay. That's what they're supposed to be, supposedly. Okay. And that's what this requirement of statutory prescribed procedures. All right. It says Section 466, 42 U.S.C. 666A. In order to satisfy Section 454.20A, each state must have in effect laws requiring the use of the following procedures consistent with this section and with regulations of the secretary to increase the effectiveness of the program which the state administers under this part. Okay, and it's going to go into detail about they just going to be implementing this this system, this system. It says procedures concerning paternity establishment. Okay, it says established process available from birth until age 18. Procedures would permit the establishment of the paternity of a child at any time before the child attains 18 years of age. Genetic testing required in certain contested cases. Okay. Voluntary paternity acknowledgments, regulations. Services offered by other entities, the secretary shall prescribe regulations specifying the types of other entities that may offer voluntary paternity establishment services.
Okay.
So this the whole law on it. Okay. And everybody, now they implemented it, they ended up changing it because we don't have enough time. We have 10 minutes. I can't get into these teachings right here with you on them. In section of the Social Security Administration Act, USC 301-42, it says on section 404.1901, termination of agreements. Each agreement shall contain provisions for its possible termination. If an agreement is terminated, entitlement to benefits and coverage acquired by an individual before termination shall be retained. The agreement shall provide for notification of termination to the other party and the effective date of termination. Yeah, you can terminate them, man. Section 7, 5 U.S.C. 552A, note A1, it shall be unlawful for any federal, state, or local government agency to deny to any individual any right, benefit, or service provided by law because of such individual's refusal to disclose his Social Security account number. And they don't say Social Security number. Y'all keep saying Social Security number. The law says Social Security account number. So if it's account number, it's got to be some funds in there. Y'all keep thinking why people asking you for it. They tapping into the account. They getting paid. Unbeknownst to you, we don't want to keep running around with the big dummy. It says, two, the provisions of paragraph one of this subsection shall not apply with respect to A, any disclosure which is required by federal statute, or B, the disclosure of a Social Security number to any federal, state, or local agency maintaining a system of records in existence and operating before January 1st, 1975. If such disclosure was required under statute or a regulation adopted prior to such date, to verify the identity of an individual. So if they didn't have it prior to that and they weren't doing it prior to that, then they're not supposed to be doing it. So you go put up different ones from the Department of Justice. You go put up different ones on the Social Security Act 42, United States Code, Section 666. It'll lead you to other stuff. It'll lead you to other readings. But read it. Read it good. See what it's about. And they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. There ain't no Social Security stack. It ain't no stacked up account. If that's the case, the old folks would be paid out. They wouldn't be just getting weekly or monthly checks, right? The older people would just got to pay it all the way out. Everything that they got put in all the way up to their 65, some boom, they would just get paid out. Why are they still getting paid checks? Because the new generation who paying into it is paying all the old people. It's the Ponzi scheme. It's the biggest Ponzi scheme around. You on the morning drip on Blog Talk Radio with Suleiman Bey. Hey, check us out on Instagram at Legal Empowerment Group for do-it-yourself kids. We help reach that credit repair. Show you ways to go in there and find it yourself in the codes where you see who you are and who you're not. And once you recognize that, then you can pop them upside the head and get paid fines and fees for what they're doing to you. What they're trying to charge you, get it back. Yeah, so that's how that go. And then the second part of that is on the do-it-yourself kids is for the business formation, how to really form your business so it can be fundable. How to have all the components on paper. You don't even got to have the physical business going. It needs to be together on paper first. You get it together on paper first. You can walk in there and get more money than somebody got a physical thing going on, but ain't did the right steps with to be recognized. Okay, so it's rules to everything. So once you know the rules, you play by them, you have more success. Okay, so then go to legalempowermentgroup101.com if you want to tap in anything from the shows, anything on the other form at Instagram at Legal Empowerment Group that you see, any help that you need right there, assistance, that's where you put your information in, get at you at that. Don't forget the knobs. We got the Helping Earth Acquire Life Through Humanity, the 501c3, they do missionary work, hood to hood, feed people, call people, whatever donations. We give, trying to do better with that this year, more marketing. But the hoods, we've been through there. Have them on two coasts. They are active. And whatever we get, we do go out and give it back out. So go to health.info for your donations on that. It takes finance to uplift the nation. And that's h-e-a-l-t-8.info. We do got pictures on there. Them not no bogus fake pictures. Them people actually doing what they're supposed to be doing in the places that they're supposed to be doing them at. So if you got that in your heart to help out and look out, nobody got to know. You could donate anonymous or you could leave your name or something. You can donate one time, you can donate weekly, you can donate monthly, you can donate in one while for the year, you know. You can drop it big, you can drop it low, drop it like it's hot, either way. So, you know, so we're here for you, we're here for the people. We thank y'all for your sponsorship, all your help. It don't matter where you at. We send yens, rupees, you send some rand, rupees, whatever you at, you can send it. We'll trade it in, and we'll put it up somewhere until we get it right. Believe that. Don't be afraid. All right? So that's how that go. If you need some feminine hygiene, check out Ms. Tay. She works hard behind the scenes, getting the websites up and putting things together for the nonprofit. And she's a coach, a business coach and a mentor. So she really works hard. You know, the black girl rock thing, the only thing is she's not black, you know. So we don't go by those titles like that. We don't hold on to those things to keep us held down in bondage and enslaved. We don't go by that. But she is gifted and still has a feminine hygiene line. And fellas, you don't have your girl buy the feminine hygiene and the smell good stuff to put on. How you know she buying it to put on for you? You gotta get her something to put on. That way, if she wearing it, huh? Yeah, she's thinking about you. You got it on. You got her smelling with something else on. We gotta get her something to wear, y'all. So yeah, go check out the feminine hygiene. If you see something in there you like for your girl, man, and get her old package, her old kit, man. Put her something together, man. Sponsor her, man. You know, sponsor her. So that's queenkitty.net. That's queenkitty.net and queenkitty at Instagram. And we just thank y'all for y'all sponsorship and y'all support. And how that goes. So remember, Social Security is voluntary. It's a voluntary you act. When you go to your employment, when you go to your job and you fill out a job, they give you the W-2 or W-4 and all that. If you read that stuff to be on the wall, they tell you that's a voluntary withholding agreement. It's clear as day. It's a voluntary withholding agreement between you and the employer. And you're not even an employee if you read the definition of the code. We just went through that, the Internal Revenue Code. We just went through the Social Security Code. Remember, they all have definitions. You can't keep believing what you've been taught with Webster. Remember, the public fool system, that's just what it is. They just taught fools. They didn't even teach us the Constitution. That's the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is the supreme authority, along with the treaties made with it and the Articles of Confederation and all them different type of documents and, you know, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all them articles go in, they're inscribed in there. And you got to know how to use these tools, you know, just like you got to know how to use the tools in the workshop of your mind. You got to be able to use your tools to build your kingdom, to build your reality. And that's what we're focusing on here on the Morning Drip Blog Talk Radio. So once again, I thank y'all for sliding through. I got to get ready to do what it do. But we will tune in again and tell a friend. And appreciate y'all. Peace and love.